This is All Things Considered on 90.1 WABE. I'm Dennis O'Hare at the National Conference of State Legislatures annual meeting in Atlanta. The debate over the President's Health Care Reform Act continues, with Secretary of Health and Human Services Kathleen Sebelius issuing a blunt defense of the program earlier this week. Georgia, of course, one of the states that has declined to set up its own health exchange or to expand its Medicaid program under the Health Care Reform Act. Senator Renee Unterman of Buford is a Republican. She is chair of the Health and Human Services Committee in the Senate. Senator Unterman, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thank you, and it's great to have NCSL here in Atlanta.
Secretary Sebelius basically was saying this is the law now. The idea of fighting it has already passed. It's up to states to decide what to do. Do you think there's any point in trying to undo Obamacare at this point?
Well, I know in particular that Congress has actually voted on the bill 40 different times.
The House has, anyway.
Yes, and 24 states have been reluctant to join, and of course Georgia is one of them. And it's been very interesting to have the HHS secretary here in Atlanta, in a very definite red state, in one of the states that has been recalcitrant, because we do not believe that the Affordable Care Act is going to be successful. And we have protected that and defended that in court and truly believe that's our position. And our governor has supported that, too. The General Assembly has been 100% behind Governor Nathan Deal. And we feel like he's made the right decisions.
But in the meantime, with the October 1st deadline coming up to get things set up and rolling, doesn't the state have an obligation to set up the education for folks who want to go on the federal exchange that would be set up here, get navigators going, and be prepared for the law to take effect?
Well, I think the controversy, and this involves the insurance commissioner, Ralph Hutchins, and I think he's done a very good job. You know, he has said that we're one of the states that doesn't want to do it. He's put the rates out there, and the rates came back, and they were exorbitantly high. And, of course, we're very concerned. What good does it do to put the insurance out there and say, here it is, it's available, but you can't afford it? So that is the controversy, and it has to be resolved. But, yes, we're going along, and we're following the letter of the law like we have to. But, you know, if the law is broken, the law needs to be fixed, is our opinion.
A couple of points on that. Is Georgia going to be ready, though, because of all the time that's been spent on trying to get delays or to overturn the law? Is Georgia going to be ready for the people who need to go on those exchanges to help them navigate it?
Well, it's very interesting because since I've been here at the National Conference of State Legislators, I've talked to legislators from all over the country, and we are not alone, and there are many, many states that have problems with the ACA, and in particular with the navigators. States here, we had an actual conference here, an hour-long presentation about how the navigators are going to work, and no one really knows, and no one knows how they're going to be implemented, and that's one of the major problems. You know, you can put a lot on the book, but the implementation is a whole different ballgame, and that's kind of where we are. The eggs are in the basket, but they're falling out of the basket because we don't have a way to make it work. And Georgia is one of the states that said, okay, federal government, come on in and run these programs for us and help us out. And they don't have a program either. So it's a conundrum. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know in my particular district and when I talk to other legislators in Georgia, it's having a significant, significant effect on our economy because of the ambiguity of not knowing what's happening. And our actual constituents feel that way, too. They don't know what's going to happen. And that way, you know, the economy is just kind of floundering over this particular issue.
Part of the argument, though, from supporters of the act would be how much of the confusion is self-inflicted because states that could be going ahead and getting things set up are instead fighting the law, asking for delays, and then coming back and saying, oh, we're not ready, when part of that lack of preparedness could be blamed on the states just getting into a political fight with the administration.
I think legislators all over the country, and I have been here for 2 days now, and I have worked on this year after year, I think we all feel the same. When you look at how big the act is, it's volumes and volumes of pages telling us what to do. but not exactly telling us how to implement it. And that's the problem. And we have asked, I have been to Washington, D.C. I have met in the HHS Secretary's office through NCSL saying, what are we going to do? We've got to meet these deadlines. And every time we turn around, it seems the playbook changes. You know, they say they're going to implement it this way, but then the next month, I get daily updates on this on my iPhone. And it's amazing the red tape that's involved. It's amazing that the states are not ready. And I can tell you, legislators are concerned, just like me in the state of Georgia, but all over the country they're concerned. And we want it to go smoothly. We want people to have insurance just like everybody else does. But it's not working. You just have to admit, it's not working. Slow down the freight train, and let's reevaluate what's going on and give the states the opportunity to help make it work.
Haven't the states already had that opportunity, though, and have they taken advantage of it if they're continuing to fight the ACA?
You know, I often wonder if when Medicare and some of the big initiatives, like in the 60s, the war on poverty, did they have enough time to get started? Or do you just dive off the diving board and get thrown into the lake? You know, I don't know the answer to that because I wasn't elected, of course, during those times. But I think it's just time to take a deep breath and say, you know, what's going on here? And if so many states are recalcitrant, I mean, Georgia's not alone. Let's just take a deep breath and reevaluate it. And you know, I really don't appreciate, you know, the secretary coming here and say, look, it's the law, do it. Well, we don't know how to do it. And that's what we were trying to say to her.
Part of the concern from the states has been that, as you mentioned, people might not be able to afford the rates that are offered on the exchange. But if this does not go forward, we already have people who can't afford rates. We have so many uninsured people. Once this gets going and you have numerous companies offering plans on the exchange, won't competition drive some of those rates down?
Well, I'm not so sure about driving the rates down, but one thing I am very positive about, because I've talked to a lot of small business people, they're not hiring people full-time. They're hiring part-timers and multiple part-time people to do one job. And that's a problem, because I think everyone should have the opportunity to be able to have a full-time job. But it's putting a damper on our economy. It's changing normal business practices that have occurred for generations. And it's a whole different society that they're trying to set up.
But don't we already have the problem of people not hiring folks full-time, or people simply not being able to afford insurance and going to emergency rooms? In other words, if we don't try this and give it a chance, what's the alternative?
Well, you know, in the state of Georgia, I think we've done a pretty good job with our Medicaid rolls in getting people onto Medicaid, and it's our fiduciary responsibility to take care of those people. And we've done a pretty good job. Of course, there are the uninsured, and there's also my generation, the people that are 50 and 60 years old that can't even find a job anymore. So how do they afford insurance? And one of their big concerns is pre-existing conditions. The other concern that I've heard a lot about is the connection to the IRS and your taxes and the health IT part of it. Is, do you want your health records being floated all over the universe and the iCloud? And that's a very big concern, and that's an issue that hadn't even been addressed yet. We hadn't even touched that bubble yet.
But that would happen no matter what happens with the Affordable Care Act, wouldn't it? This is something that Newt Gingrich was talking about, electronic records. This is hardly a Democratic or Republican idea.
Yeah, I think the electronic records, they are happening, and that is a good thing, and is proving to be very beneficial so that you know, your records follow you. But the issue of connection to taxation and the IRS, so it's just, like I said before, it's a conundrum. It's a huge, huge issue. The majority of this conference at NCSL has been devoted to health care. And when I go back into session in January, that's what the focus of the General Assembly is going to be on, is health care. And it's not going to go away. It's not going to be resolved anytime soon.
And weren't exchanges really an idea that started in the Republican Party?
Yeah, it did. it did. But I never think that it was implemented. The thought process, it just said, you know, they said, typical politicians, that's a great idea. But how do you implement it? How do you take it to the grassroots? How do you take it to the public health department?
So however lawmakers feel about the Affordable Care Act, what is the legislature going to do to help people navigate it once it's a fact of life?
Well, that's a long time until January. Like I said, I get daily updates. And I'm sure by January we're going to have other problems that we don't even know those existing problems coming up. But I foresee the navigators and the confidentiality being a huge problem. I also see the governor who came back from Washington, D.C. to be a governor. He knows health care. He specialized in health care. And that's a good thing because we're going to need all those resources to carry us forward.
Is the state leaving a lot of money that could help the state navigate this on the table by refusing to set up the exchange or expand the Medicaid?
You know, it's funny you ask me that question because I have people ask me that all the time, and I write the Medicaid budget. We don't have enough money now to fund what we have now. How on earth can you quadruple the Medicaid money? It would drive our state broke if we added those people onto the Medicaid rolls. We don't have a choice in that because we just don't have the money. It's right in the middle of a recession. We're coming out of the recession. But we've already had to supplement our Medicaid fund with other monies that come from transportation, natural resources, and put it into taking care of people on Medicaid. We just can't do it.
But aren't we paying anyway in emergency rooms, in health care that is missed, health care, preventive health care that's delayed, and then you have to get something more costly?
Yes, you're exactly right. And one of the biggest problems we have is that the DSH payments, the disproportionate payment of the uncompensated care that you're talking about, these people are not on Medicaid. In just a couple of years, that money's going to be wiped out, because the feds are not going to give us that money. And that is a huge problem, and that's one of the issues that's going to have to be addressed.
So the bottom line for people who are going to try to navigate this system and shop around for health care, are they going to have the help from the state that they need to get through the system to make the choices they need to make once October 1st comes?
I believe and have confidence in the state that the state will do the right thing. And I know it's a huge, huge issue, but it's going to be resolved one way or the other. And whatever happens in Congress, that's one of our big problems, is we can't control what's happening in Congress. And it's very difficult to be a state legislator. And people ask you, well, what are you going to do? And you have to say, well, I don't know what Congress is going to do. So it's a huge problem. And believe me, I don't sleep at night just worrying about the state budget. And I'm sure being a governor, I can't imagine his problems. But, you know, I think I have confidence that we have intellectual people that are working on it, and we're going to do the best we can for the people of the state of Georgia.
Senator Renee Unterman is a Republican from Buford. She is chair of the Health and Human Services Committee in the Senate. Senator, thanks again for giving us this much time. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.